and your community of St. Paul. So we can have the conversation. This is not a trivial pursuit.
Representative, I'll tell you, 4 years ago, we came up multiple millions of dollars to moving old cranes and out circle, and it will now be
less
for four kilos.
A good
millions, but state is not one.
You know,
state
I have a
ton use white.
At the previous house had
almost
vegetation
in the newer house.
As knowledgeable about all parts of construction, perhaps as you
actually get with, which is really
a part of,
I was compelled by Senator John on need for a good
thank you, Mr. Chair. That's just my point. I'm actually Commissioner from Scott. Commissioner Aldridge had a family emergency today and couldn't be with us. So I'm here on behalf of the Scott County Association for Leadership and Efficiency. I think some of you probably
heard
of it. That was started in the
county. That's a meeting
to get about different six local units of government, the county,
six
cities, six townships together to put together on common issues. We're here to talk about our proposed regional public safety training facility, which is close to my heart.
For some,
also happens to be a retired
target,
so I really appreciate the needs of public safety. I know that you have a full agenda. I'll keep my part of the remarks brief, but before
I have
to turn it
public
over to the county administrator, also the project manager, just like to size our aspects of the project. Originally, the Yale members commissioned a study to evaluate
up with
potential sites
that
was then primarily training to
improve.
However, as the study progressed, we began working with our colleagues
in
the county. We quickly realized public safety training needs.
People
inside law enforcement, fire, public works, rail, EMS, emergency operations, and communications, SMAP, among others.
That's
for identical theirs, the original concept was broadened to encompass a more regional approach to our project. Actually, every public safety official that has heard our proposal
and
visited the project has not only endorsed the concept, but has publicly stated they would like to use the
budget
to complete it. Current expertise includes
Burke,
Harvard, the County Sheriff's Office, and Fairwater
with that.
Castleville Police and Eagle Police, Hamburg Police,
first,
Lakeville Police, Leesburg County Sheriff's Office, Nix County, St. Bonaventure Fire, Sibley County Sheriff's Office, Central College,
Chairman,
and St. Paul Police.
I'm on,
continues
good
to grow as people find out about the facility we have.
I'm
Now more than ever, before we need to study the public safety training, because of what you face as public servants, public safety. This project can be part of the state's solution to provide health and safety. Feel we have a unique stuff that is suitable. It's good proximity to that from the interior from the state of Minnesota. And it's really a great unique opportunity to things that hasn't been done before in Minnesota. So, with that, I'll turn it over to the Deputy Administrator Gary Shelton can explain a little bit of the project. Thank you,
Commissioner. Golf chair members of the committee,
a number of you had the opportunity to visit the site and appreciate your visit. I will not go into the other length on the site itself, but really try and hit what I think are some of the key components of the facility that makes it worthwhile if state funded. This facility really has the potential of being planned and designed to support public safety. This is not a fire training facility. This is not law enforcement training facility. But it's a facility that's really being to support all of the different disciplines of safety. There are about 10 different disciplines that need to work together, to plan, to be able to train together. They need to do so independently, but they all need to do so in a coordinated fashion. And we don't have the ability within the state for that to take place. The facility is obviously intended to support law enforcement and intended to support fire, but it's also intended to support public health. Intended to support public works. It is being designed so that emergency communications and public policy makers are able to uniquely and see how training is taking place to make policy decisions to go back into an area where they can develop emergency plans, participate in emergency incident management process. It provides some unique characteristics in its ability we think rail training safety is not available within the state. It has the ability to provide to site within the metro a long firing range for enforcement. Local agencies need all public safety ability to shoot at longer distances, both to site at 200 yard range within the metro area. Extremely difficult, but it is possible at this location. In addition to which, the facility has wide regional support, the providers from the different public safety groups in the
Mississippi River Park.
We have discussed the facility and planned it, included in our plan, represented representatives from the city of St. Paul, police department, to get a large entity, a large public safety provider's view of what needs what's necessary.
Senator,
they've pointed out from the variety of in our initial thing that we anticipate.
We
brought in people from the South Central College facility and also work with
all about
what types of needs did they have that were used to what they were doing in both the fire and
the waste
and the long fire grip. We brought in emergency providers in order to try to make sure that the facility itself provides resources for the entire gamut
of the Mississippi
providers.
As
a project to ready for
sale,
we've completed the pre-committee, we've done the very good operations plan report for the ongoing operational costs for
the
local providers of local government agencies to fund the operating cost of the parts facility. We have
got
the ability in housing.
Looking
at I think the gentleman from the hotel and restaurant association is gone, so he can't say that we're competing with his project either, but we have the ability to provide housing. We have the ability to provide food services or things that were possible for agencies, even smaller agencies, to travel to this quality and stay at a price afford to send groups there
we know
for weekend trips and other overnight settings. So with that, we are asking for $4 million is the request. Request would be
$1 million.
Whether we 40% of the total
at the report
of this particular project.
That to it, anything
okay.
At all.
Mr. Chair,
it's certainly
I'm sure
to you
the
folks
that you said the area that you would
I think
serving,
if we could
is
move
totally different than the
some
that the transcendent lodges would be served.
Towards
juvenile
getting the site.
They would go to your place and we'd all
in,
go
to any of this placement.
You
have,
Mr. Chavez,
yeah.
Representative Murphy.
It's called,
they are entirely different
than
us. If you'd like to do
kind of
40 in Rochester facility. To my knowledge, those are folks that are
close
support this or in the western region of the area in the metropolitan area. Not just for
these facilities,
it is a draw from the southwestern corner
I have
and
to
it's, excuse me, southeastern corner of the state. And as north
are not
as proud, they were one of the
quality
grants from might be the right
good thing.
County area, but I'm not positive how far north the hospital. You know, we did contact
the report
as we were looking through this facility. We had with him
because
he's been involved in that particular project to see if we were looking at
questions
overlapping. And
his call
that we were not sure that this project is raw, it's not be trying to draw from the same area. Is it a good in the area of firefighters, firemen?
All right.
This particular facility. Generally, firefighters are not going to travel a great distance. Particular smaller ones to access some of these facilities that in the
month
they will not want to be away from their city quite often with their equipment if they have
right.
People for 2 or 3 hours.
Mr. Chair,
thank you very much. See next. This is a good.
The facility is planned to incorporate this area for 800 megawatts of regional
so are you in a 800 region then
yes we are.
I'm just going to point out one of the things that I heard Mr. Shelton say is in regards to the rail that would be nowhere else in the you could just on that slightly to see if I heard you correctly. The rail train, of course, the rail spur.
Mr. Chair, Senator Frost, that is correct.
Thank you.
In looking at the training that we're
thank you.
Within the state with this and with this region, we could locate anywhere in the state where there was holistic rail
stations.
In talking to the Burlington Northern and Pacific, the Northern
to
in particular was
the
use of the facility. They currently sent their staff to move to Arizona.
We have to build it.
Thank you.
And
appreciate it.
Next, to it.
Great page.
That's an old plant, 70 million gallon plant, which is constructed. Two plants, one railroad. Ideal location.
Project.
So
that's another one
that's going to be constructed in
the Chair, members of the
Council,
thank you for the opportunity to share a
correspondence
with you for the River Park. Connecting an ecologically sound Mississippi River Act
federal
and community development.
What?
For the record, my name is Gregory Page. I'm representing the St. Paul Riverfront Corporation.
We are many partners working with the St. Paul throughout New York County located to this important institute. It's a 90-member organization of the Minnesota Institutional Partnership who has a support item, $10 million for all the Great River Park in the Mississippi area
about
names our Great River Park. The park
Chairman
is in the center of the bill. I'd like to thank Senator Renset and
the leader
for their consideration.
I am
here today to talk to you for your consideration
so
only of key elements of the Great River Park proposal as
but
we all get more realistic.
My next final
five
was
specifically, I request your consideration of $3.1 in state funding to match $2.7 in federal 21 funding and complete a project on the banks of the Mississippi River. But
strictly
appropriate, reducing the long-term maintenance costs and selecting and leveraging
another
$20 of adjacent I probably don't need to bring it to your decision that a three request is a bit more one-to-one match, $2.7 million of the project. This project of a long-term effort in the city of St. Paul for a series of along the riverfront, which we have partnered in the past. This project overall is an $8.2 million project. Right in the middle of this, we are fortunate to
report
that $0.4 million we have recently funded by others, including
P21,
livable communities, and private investment. The overall project was $8.2
million
at the final $5.8 million and requested bonding to match the T21 and complete project.
Because therefore
we should just accept the job Senate position.
Well,
I think the Senate position
is necessary.
Important of recognizing this
it isn't
as a local project as well as a local one. And this
that's
has to do with the
like
quality at the river's
edge.
The river
chairman. Thank you.
Proposal
here,
and I'm going to hand this out.
Thank you very much.
The committee
has
seen this.
No questions.
Engineers.
Go to the now.
We're a thankful placeholder.
No.
Just soon. But this project, both the Corps of Engineers and the DNR
have some
record endorsing the sound ecological principles of this.
All right.
And the least cost effect of this project. We were happy
Albert
for this information direct with the city of Minneapolis.
Former
last year, as they look at their
river
and make the point that everybody lives upstream from
it,
and we believe cleaning up the ecology of our dead will help down the stream community. 4 years ago, the city was allocated which
board
you have in your packet. Sorry,
down.
There's a clerk there's in your packet showing its condition. It is heavily deteriorated, and the goal is to replace it with logically with low maintenance
and riprap.
This our last opportunity
and
leverage the several dollars to
complete
this.
And I think that would be a good idea.
The allocation, the T21 allocation, expired. We've been at this with your health partnership we were advised that not to have anything that wasn't due for another year. So here we are at the last possible time. So that is request million to match the T21 and complete the project. It's an $8.2 million project. Additionally, in your pack, I'm pleased to report that the Great River Park supporters were successful in getting a special $1 federal allocation
one of the...
And 126,000 all CFP funding for proposing a trail there in out of Bruce Bonacious and Cornerstone Park. Only $740,000 to gain the match of 1.96 million. In sum, request is for $3.844 million needed to capture to expire federal dollars and some other charter on the table
about
to complete these projects. The project in particular, the River's Ed project, migration are St. Paul's ecological health and economic successful economic redevelopment, which we call the Great River.
My name, we're going to try to
stick to 3 minutes. The clock in
progress,
so I slacked off, so.
We'll give both of
thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Cultural Center. So thank you very much, Tony. I'm going to try to do this in 2 points. 2 minutes.
Bonus and points for that.
The nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide all the opportunities to further their understanding of Asian Pacific communities and their culture. Our project is to be a bridge between cultures and to do that by creating a neighborhood center that will also have a gallery, a lot of resources,
and county has
banquet rooms that can seat up to 500 people with a commercial kitchen, 265 in the theater, and offices
and
I'd like to explain the change in the amount that we are requesting. When we initially made our request for $4.5 million, we have signed a purchase option for a site on University Avenue. Since then,
to build
our circumstances
water
changed, and
flood,
we find ourselves with the support of the new mayor of St. Paul, and
to
have officially received the city's resolution
from
support to work with us.
Please stop.
So we anticipate for the city a site that will cost significantly less. Adult
was
the for $500,000 and that's working with the city to move forward on this project. And it's so important for us to have both the public and the private funding in this project. With the planning documents, we'll be able to move forward to this important project.
Take
a second refer to our discussion with the Asian Pacific Islander population of Minnesota by county. Maybe hard to see on the end. Each of the residents represents 5 to 12 Asian
Pacific.
That there are red dots all over the state. Minnesota has the highest Asian Pacific Islander population between the East and West Coast. And this great project
right now,
the Pan-Asian Center will be a resource and individuals from throughout the state. And that destination place of thousands and thousands of people, it's economically positive and positive for economic development. So thank you. That's my testimony.
Good job.
My time.
Thank you.
Please,
Mahoney.
I have actually a couple questions. Because I'm from the Asian Council, each committee has encompassed the Asian Pacific Island. The last count I had was over 20.
And I would say that I'm guessing when I say six, but I can sort of show you the chart,
and
the total population of Minnesota. And then part of it is a map that shows all of Asia. It includes again Afghanistan, all the way up to China, Japan. But six, I think.
And then one final question. How long has this been? Have you ever come to state for this particular project?
From that?
Thank you. Actually, for those of you who are not aware, Station Cultural Center was incorporated in the 2000 bond issue, and it was a huge disappointment to us when it was vetoed that project, but it was a chance to enhance our project. So,
the second
and we incorporated $1 million in 2000.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the MAC City. However, in the Senate, there was not a recommendation for this project, but I'm happy to say that in the House Transportation Finance Committee, this
is
was one of our high recommendation.
We have identified it.
This corridor is a 24-hour corridor, presumably ready to go. It can have 15,000 transit riders a day.
It's
fully immersion to this very significant 3,000 people
per day.
This recommendation that we had was for $3.3 million
but
the development of an inline foundation, which would be part of
the project
cost for that project. Federal funds and then some regional capital.
The
committee may be familiar with this because we had the committee out on the bus tour show the simulation of driving through that corridor. I think it's a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. The remaining 5 million for the parking lot 494, used potentially
at
8th Street and 82nd Street as well, and then potentially down 160 or County 41 Lakeville. I know everybody is trying to be conscious of time. I think that the committee is pretty aware of what it does, and I'm happy to take some questions.
The rest of our
mistaken, this project has been in process for about 2 years.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. What really kicked support
as
the reason why we're here at the legislature for your support
later,
is Representative Holt, seen along with Senator
Duckett, the city
has the
legislature rep
received some money from the legislature to have a
report
done. It was prepared by URFS, and seeing that this is a viable option as a transway. Also part of our five
city of
Tier 1 Transitways
Captain
Council 2020 and happy to be here.
The city of Freeport County in Shelton Tower, Black River Water System District.
Mr. Chair and Representative Miller, I just mentioned unfortunately that we did not, make
it. We just have here, so you just need it to work
out.
Not
in the Senate bill, however, we were
able
to receive $8.3 million in the governor's proposal and in the House Administration bill. They had a number of projects before this one came out as a highly recommended project.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
We have during The stormwater system.
Ronis.
Old Steven. Well, that's Terry.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lana Stevens. I work with the Coalition for Battered Women and 110 domestic violence programs for the state of Minnesota. That is more includes the shelters as well as community advocacy programs and safe homes. And they help 11 of these programs currently have transitional housing programs. There is the state of sewer serving well over 1,000 families every which year since 1998, which was the last when Eric's cycle of late funds had gone on tech to transition. We are seeking additional funds, and we are not included in the Senate bill. However, the Minnesota Financing Agency received intimate support as well as, I believe, the social services for additional housing dollars because at permanent supportive housing, while it is stated in the all date of Minnesota, we believe in state highway that permanent supportive housing is not many but greater women problems do meet the problem. Permanent, so this round of housing, which you must be filed the home for at least 4 times in the last year. On the so we don't, there's the last year. We will not ask bank them to leave their abusers this time 4 times in order to qualify for permanent support of housing. But we would not like to seek additional funds holding and we're able under your support for transitional housing, which adds up to 20 of our 4 months needed. And during this time, women hear their credit receipts that may be recouped by the officers. And we also have which submitted written testimony matching to folks from many of the programs throughout the state, including Connie Morph in Anderhalbridge and Blaine to cap the Riddle County, Hoka, Minnesota. Several of Gaia added advocates for family on the peace and grant kids and Kavani veterans from shelter in Wilson Wilmer. The both of these sort of have leave shelter transition housing program votes. Two of them do not and are seeking additional and since for transitional housing history, we are asking for your support. We have in terms of looking at as a continuum and options both in either or for our not project supportive housing or the transitional bill housing thing on the dollars. Ballot. Thank you. And yet, 41%
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Michael, I'm the executive director with the Minnesota Coalition for
Voted.
Representative Keller has carried a bill for us that actually includes two forms of supportive housing. Permanent supportive housing and transitional housing. Anna has already discussed housing is for those who don't need permanent support, who need the help, but they need that help. And transitional health, they can receive it. I think that there's some confusion between how there are different supportive housing, and this has been created because there's a definition of long-term homelessness. Further, there's a definition that you provide support to people as long as but that you're able to help move it along. I think to draw a picture of why there are two forms of supportive housing, I want to bring up the example of
generation.
Just think of is this a short story?
It's a very short story.
Thank you very much.
The first is about now. Return from the war with traumatic stress disorder, other forms of illness.
Thank you.
Did not take care of when they returned from the war. They did not have family supports. And unfortunately, they were from a stereotype for the person who's homeless on the streets. In and out of shelters, interacting with them too frequently, but on the streets for a very long period of time, and now they need permanent help. And that's what supportive housing does. That's what the government requested, 25 million, is just a population like that. We're hoping we can go beyond the $25 million and get the $8 million we didn't capture last year as well. So that's why the request is $33 million for permanent support funding. All I'd like to make from a take of the veterans from the war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
You know anything? No.
And this is something that Captain Vitale, I guess, was hoping to testify about, but she wasn't able to be here. We are seeing a number of veterans returning to our war who have served, come back. Their job lost. Their housing has been lost. Their community has been lost. It has been very difficult to make it through, but they don't need permanent support. And we shouldn't wait a year until we provide that help to them.
Thank you.
Kat is going to come and talk about she serves this day. Five
next
her from either Iraq or Afghanistan. She's a cyber caseworker, and there are many across the state. And from Hope, she put $10 million into transitional housing. She's just sorely needed to make
center,
sure more people don't leave Marsh long-term homelessness.
Thank you.
Mr. I want to point out two things. First, I think that this is really an important issue. And I don't know what dollar we'll end up on, but we will
include. Are you in the business?
Both transition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Because I give the flexibility to the conference committee to go
bill.
After this. And I just have members very aware of how it is. Chairman, you have a packet in your mail today. I read in committee an earlier committee
the femicide report.
And I have to that each kid, because frankly, we want to reduce those numbers
to
the whole story of children and families destroyed by violence. And it had a very big impact on
the
community. And one of the reasons
of the
ongoing home or going to Bemidji United is to sit there and wait for Michael
Mark,
to be able to die before you tonight, because I think the message that they bring to this leaving your abuse four times in 1 year is not acceptable.
Hey,
we need something.
I'm Dave.
And I hope that we can bring the governor around us to ensure that we have funding for transitional housing as well. I support the permanent transition. So, thank you for listening. Of course.
Mr. Chairman, we are, if I can just point out a question that's been discussed, is are we included in the Senate bill? There is no proposal. There is no inclusion of the transitional housing in the Senate bill, and I think it's a partial confusion over the two different forms of housing. They thought they were both going for the same purpose. As you hear, there are clear examples of people don't quite fit for the criteria that the governor has. We need to for the governor
with
five planned and long from homelessness. But if we don't put more additional housing, more people will reach the point, and this will never end it.
Thank you.
See you. Provide the next question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkel, this is not for a project. This is for multiple projects that we statewide. So we'll help a lot of people with these resources. Second, the traditional situation doesn't just help family. When one family moves on, another family can come in. You're able to multiple people handle. To the 2 points of white contract and so much for permanent. Cultural Hospital has not received state funding because there's been a focus on this permanent support, and that's why we're trying to put in place and stuff to to cut that gap. And the $3 million on permanent supportive housing is because the governor has a multi-year plan, a bond packaging plan, which you have on with homelessness. And 2 years from now, that request is going to be for $30 to $40 million. So which year do you
drive exactly
what we did in this year? And we know that when they applied for the time, this is the year. It's not into the land. It's not a plan to get this year. It can end from homelessness. It's to end from homelessness, and that's why for the full amount.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stevens and Mr. Ball. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's take a call. Kathy O'Brien, University of Minnesota.
In the lead. Mr. Chair, could you get this chair bonded for us?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
$100 million in a wide variety of projects.
Good evening, Chair.
Including a
nice to have
you. High school.
Good to see you.
There's an option.
I've read some extra grades. I'm Carol O'Brien, Vice President for University Services at the University of Minnesota. University of Minnesota, represented in this committee. I'm President Bruno, represented the university's capital bonding request for this discussion. And the university requests committee members to my request of $206 million.
Okay.
$206,047,000. The Senate bill passed a very responsive
action
to our request. And the university is very gratified by this
communication.
Essentially, the Senate allocated half of our HEAP requests and funded all of our requests except Carlton School, which was funding at the two-thirds level, was funded at one-third of the project level. In other words, members will recall that Carl's from your visit on campus and from President Brunick's presentation, Carlton School is one of the highly ranked business schools in the country. That only one in eight students who apply is, and this project really provides for keeping many of those highly qualified students in the state and really developing our leadership base in the state of Minnesota. We believe that the Carlton School has really demonstrated the efficacy of the program and would urge to fully fund the state's two-thirds share of the staff. Also add, though we were grateful for $40 million per funding, that it's very essential for the university that level, if not more, cheaper funding. And again, I won't repeat the conversation from 2 weeks ago, other than that the university wishes to be the stewards of our of what we have and take care of what we have. Those cheaper dollars will be used very judiciously to do so.
Thank you. I didn't hear you exactly. It was in the Senate.
Yes.
Bill,
can
you
have
something with the Carlson
of our
Wolf
and something? God bless you,
Chairman.
Yes,
Chairman. The community employer was a great work out.
Mr. Chair,
Mr.
Dorman.
I have
The university is a really needs the tooth funding for the Carlson School, and that's why I'm here to speak today. The Carlson School, of course, is good at raising dollars, and they raised about a $10 million grant to support the share for this project. I think it's very important for legislators to know that the fundraising the Carlson does is not only used
funding
for its building or facilities, but also for scholarships and We are very committed to having access to the scholarships, the counseling programs across the spectrum of Minnesotans, and we don't want financial hurdles to really get in the way of every qualified Minnesota student entering the Carlson School. So please keep in mind, even if the Carlson School raise money, those dollars are also for scholarships or academic programs.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. O'Brien, do you think you could sell a naming rights to sponsor the Carlson First Bank or Carlson Polad or, you know, it's a common phenomenon around.
Mr. Chair, Representative Maconey, this project already has $10 million in private funds. The university has already raised its one-third. And I believe the Carlson School program is something that merits or that provides benefit to the whole state and deserves the same level of state support that our higher ed projects do.
So that you couldn't sell it? It's not worth it.
It's already named Carlson.
It's already.
Well, I said just an add-on.
This building has a private donor, Herb and Barr Hansen. The university has already raised private funds for this project.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you.
12.
Thank you for being here.
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering. I'm wondering if there is any measure of success of MBA or do we have two of them? Scholastic, one is MBA and one is management. I don't know. One is management, master of business, and one is master of management. Is there any indication as to how successful these people are with master's programs? What kind of businesses they? I know they have two most successful businesses. One finished high school and one AS or B or A.
Since
AS or
BA or BS.
Not even junior college, not even community college. AS or
Okay.
Most successful when they just, you know, I just doesn't one have to be born with that kind of
last
how successful. You know, to finish the graduate program, do we have any indications?
So,
Mr. Chair and Representative Yarrow, I'm a historian and I run the physical plant of the university. I don't know that I'm really qualified to answer the question. I will say that one indication of success is the support of our local community of the Carlson School and their desire to have this program produce more students and to hire those students, and that's
a lot.
A very high measure of success and one that we have a strong indication.
You give all history majors hope.
Good. There's something else history majors.
So Representative Dr. Khan, I think she's going to respond.
What I was going to do is going to tell an old Yiddish story.
Here we have.
Grandfather told me. There was once a man who was the shamus in the shul, in that, which means the custodian who did all of the stuff in the shul and put the chairs out for holidays and took them back and all that. And he was totally illiterate, but he was doing a very good job. And the rabbi discovered at one point that this guy was illiterate. And he was just totally offended. He said, the shamus in our shul be illiterate, so he did that and fired him. This guy was fired and he his went out and he got a job as a chicken plucker and a chicken
food company.
He did that and did it very well because he always said he came down. And after a while he
owned this kind of
little bit up and then he owned another butcher shop
just
and as brief expanded he owned a bakery and then he owned several other things and then finally he decided he was trying to get married, and he went to the
original
marriage arrangement and his wonderful wife and his children
to pay now. Minnesota,
I need
home.
To
send now for 50
I have to go to the bank,
year.
And I have to go
and he should all know that he's most successful
among our 25,000
loans, and the banker gives
out
and says, well, I'm
Marin,
boy, I can't sign
in
it, because I'm not right.
Minnesota.
And he says, what Dota, a successful man,
and
this village,
well,
just think what kind
of
become you could lead him right. He said, I'd still be the
sheriff.
Sorry.
I was wondering if the con was going on something about chickens. I didn't know
if the number of things from Hulk we
had finished on. Maybe in
over the course of the last spot.
And if I were a rich
the one
on the
million dollar investment, Dr.
You have been
that investment allow smart now to have one of the highest average household incomes in Great Minnesota. I think it's
how much time do you need?
30 seconds.
In the entire state.
Thank you, Mr. Chambers.
Okay.
The committee. I am
part
executive secretary of the Capital Area Architectural.
So the
building, the Capital
Board for sure.
The
regional airport. Further,
the Capital building.
$6.1 million
for is intact
run
in the play bonding bill.
For improvement.
Just the $1.8 million for each in detail.
$1.9 million
gets in general fund
together
for
we will have
a preparation for the
turn
to the swing at the phase relocation. And $1.4 million for repair. On the housing side, the 6.1 was reduced by the 2.9 general funds in response to the State Government Finance Committee's interest in having the Department of Recognition restore the Ford building and in so doing possibly providing a temporary relocation space for capital
person.
Thus, State Government Finance brought forward to view
the
$3.1 million of the capital reduced
$6.1 million
plus the
property the high school
city's number one recommendation. The capital board supports the recommendation of the board building taxation of the building tax force.
Diligently
and provide the State Government Financing Committee
when we
in the renovation of the board building
and partnered with
the Great Swing State
Minister
in the Capitol Building Restoration
Fund.
However,
thriving
should the building not be funded in the House
we were
bill,
told those
critically important that the Capitol building request be fully funded at $6.1 million.
And we
that would be
3.1
in funding
and
2.9
addition
general fund.
We've
to advance
the main
for the swing space
down
and
loose
and that would be for acting in other facilities.
Correct.
Was about
correct.
Okay. For the
Reverend Mercy, I'm sorry I wouldn't recognize you.
And
the one who's going to politics,
but
once you're cash and later you're canceled, please excuse me, I wouldn't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, come with my friends.
I trust
to run for your opponent and your
partner
in your shirt.
In the second
arm, I set your third that's construction of a regional event
center.
One of the
region's
important in economic development efforts. It's the crazy. This is public. And we're going to be in big, big trouble. Seven.
So we're all working on making sure that we talk with the same person. Now we're
at $1 million. It's a new package.
So we got to keep the funds available.
Better for me.
That's what I say, and I really appreciate it.
I want you to know Mr. Schaefer about it.
I think Kirby wants to
see it. There were
questions
like ideas
Wilson,
and many years ago. There's Southwest Minnesota soda region.
Any questions, please?
Company Long, first university, when she reported that he had a maximum
I will say, as the only long-standing
hotel
raised in Nebraska, it
and
always worked.
Education, trust, and conviction of never before
tonight, joined
or
never of the
before they were.
Did you
respond to this
from
those?
We are getting responses, yes, but not
our company we have to we went
to the public
calling
in previous bills
our home
the state home was supposed to be on the private
this is a place sure one of the great things in America in free enterprise
is occurred
and in
our mind that's the care of this situation
food
it should be legislation. We all support
the
storing flags and pictures and things like that.
Vital. I think it's very vital to our growth.
These capital-type situations like
thank you for
doing
the having
East
us here today.
Those things are
respectful. We would be happy now
are
to take
your
equality
and I just
think
that we can stay, move through, and get this is the second
thank you very much.
State
appreciate
capital
nature.
In the United Five, States.
Two.
Other states are
spending
hundreds of millions
today
of dollars to renovate their buildings. When they can see this, they think
support
it's beautiful.
And
it is beautiful. But
their
shortcomings,
you don't like old
thank you. That's a remember.
There's not a building that you can't carry. I can't carry down and build it better. But having said that, I'll go to this question. Could you please repeat the numbers at friends of the capital are looking for this year.
29. Nelson.
Yep.
Honest.
Yep.
The, I'm not going to pronounce.
The 6 point
I'm not
includes 1.8, which is the detail of the East West restoration, and 1.4 for the dome repairs, interior restoration, and that's all considered funded. And then
2.9
is for wing space operation of
nope,
from
not.
The eastern and possibly determined
to
purchase wing space
studio.
That can be used for the future of construction to relocate on a temporary
basis. And members of the committee,
and
greetings
that,
from
the that goes with
your
building.
Sorry.
Utilizing the order.
A point nine was taken out of 6.5.
Wilson, District 17.
And Mr. Chairman,
Dave, just
Brook County.
Yeah, so the board building amount is what again?
The board building, I believe, is in the range of 13.
What you have before you is a request for 4 months.
And so I know that Representative Schaffler worked very hard on this in terms of with others to make sure that something
request is
like
changed.
Public, so I think we need to get
requesting $2 million in building.
Thank you.
The OG Cedar Regional Park.
It's a privilege to testify in front of the Southern Nebraska.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
One of
the place from there.
Green Lakes and
yeah.
State
of all that. Where are we going?
It's on the end that is
owned by the campfire. Carol Pass. He's the
contains living quarters.
Boy, have you been patient.
Very well.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
For a
match.
But it wasn't
as
efficient.
So we've done on regional.
Mr. Chairman
Park.
And members of the committee for letting me speak about this. We are in the Senate bill, and
I want to express
my gratitude for that. Sat here all day to keep, I think this is
fun.
Going to be hard with a lot of things that I don't want to see get eliminated, and if my sitting here all day is an indication of our desperation for getting this bill thing. It doesn't say in the agenda what
we're
speaking of, but we are trying to get the bill
facility
community and cultural center.
For you?
We are one of the neighborhoods that actually have a park with no cultural center, and we are also one of two. It's in the Hills neighborhood. We are
feet
one of fine
lakes
neighborhood.
I was big
in the
answer.
We didn't think pretty. All probably in the state of Minnesota. And I I did not have an opportunity to push this.
There's an increase
of a story increase in families with children. We also increased population in Minneapolis. There isn't another increase. We have 42.3% increase in youth from 15 to 19 since 1990. We have a 32.9% increase in children from 10 to 14. And we have 3.6% of kids living in poverty. And we have about 77 nations represented, so we have a tough time getting everybody together. But since you're looking at the brochure you put out, I call your attention to the collaborative planning partners. It has not been easy to get every page working toward building the building. And so we have the American community, we have the Hispanic community, which is now nearly 30%. We have another neighborhood association, I forgot to say that I am
within the
one of East Coast Improvement Coalition, and I live in Phillips, and I don't know if I said my name. Carol at any rate, we've all these, we have United Tracks, Midtown Phillips, the Hispanic basically the Hispanic community
and
is backing us.
A wonderful example.
The Methodist directors and the park director board. This was no small feat, and we've worked very hard at organizing and building consensus.
All right. I told you.
I also call your attention to the on the back.
Once
these numbers of children in the selected neighborhood, you can see that what's is, I would say, one-third of all of these neighborhoods.
Previous
population of
the
children in
the
children.
Population for several years.
Sadly, all counties, neighborhoods have community centers, some of them
again,
more than one. We have this
one of the
vast
numbers.
We do have
growing
some buildings, but I would say at least two of the areas of Phillips has no place to have kids meet. And I've got to say that the things I've heard today, this building addresses
more people necessities, and you're going to lose more bang for your buck. I just the one who puts in the bus and know everything else we
do. That's us. Is a
we. We can't stop the inner core crime wave without getting the kids out of the gang and into something good. No place to do this.
Yeah.
We have no place for structured activities.
We, can,
we have no place
for
to do help for bring help.
Pressure.
We want project to address the crime issue by addressing the gang issue by providing something else. We got to keep kids
every
gangs by putting
you,
them in something we can
faculty.
We want to address the
a
school dropout
point
rate. We want to address our education problems.
Point.
Our schools are not in the East Phillips area. The kids are back. We want to have a place to do homework, help to do tutoring, to have a computer where they can work on their stuff
yes.
when they come home to the area. So we want to address the educational problem.
You also
we want to address the,
for you,
the ethnic fault lines that we have.
A man.
It's not no place
that
to be to
children.
They're playing
what we're
their
looking
groups.
At.
They don't know. Well, we want to have a place
and
to bring them together and teach them and
fault.
Help them make across
that's
ethnic lines.
Fault.
We this came out of, I believe, the Economic
and
Development Committee. It's file
723.
Well, this may be, but the fact is that the economic development along the light rail from Franklin to Lake Street is not moving very well. And we're having trouble with building
buildings
and getting them sold and all this. And economic development is really crucial to that whole area and to jobs thing with new immigrants and low
income.
The problem with economic development is that to do a business in our is more costly
if we do
probably in sales.
See
clients
all
from outside are afraid to come there. I have friends visit me in Phillips. I have friends whose husbands that are come there for
okay.
several years. Finally,
all of that
she came.
Open.
Space, you know, but somebody threw a box
over to
the windshield.
Never knew.
Parked
all the way
outside.
Down.
Now she
could
never.
Point.
But this
you
is
see
the issue. Businesses, people won't come. We have
we'll
wonderful Mexican communities.
Houses.
We have Mercado and this. Except for all of these new
today,
immigrant businesses,
the
port of Lake Street requires that we deal with crime. And this requires
okay.
that we deal with the kids.
So that's
all.
The question.
It really is directly related to economic development.
John,
we have clientele that won't come. It's also due to the expense
the
of security is horrendous.
The
roof is occupied, decent, and we
to
have retaining population.
The
keep
city has
people
work
there. We don't want
county
fight out of the neighborhood.
And
other
it's to environment to help.
It happen because the crime is very severe. And
yeah.
I think it really is that we
thank
just
you.
Aren't
presenting
for
any questions representing
so, I'm thinking of Mr. Feldman is back. Road kitchen across from
well, this is kind of in every kitchen. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Buford. Chairman, we're just going to Nelson help for some of you park on Texas. We did project for a PNR time. We tried to find some place in mean, money and other kinds of things. They're not. I will regional that just park out to Embers. The Minneapolis Park, in terms of the core, Ernie Russ is one of the largest who after school competitor program in the state. This is not the largest setting. And
yeah.
having a building like this would after school, but beyond school, and I think it's a really, really important thing how bound
now.
This space is by highways. It's a really critical area. Years ago, we thought that
as
the Colin Powell
stated,
Center was in this neighborhood, but that project has fallen off
very
the map, and
to work.
I think we've learned
can do
a little lesson here
program.
About investing in
but
public businesses, like
given that
proven
we find
track record
about
things like
it.
The Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board to run
and
this sort of facility,
sell it
and I think it's really important
August.
Here today that we
thank
this.
You.
sense. There are two neighborhoods, Mr. Jordan, Chairman, and the neighborhood Phillips really are underserved, and the park board has been trying. I think the park board can give some maintenance effort here,
has
and will take on the operating
land
facility, but it has been a very difficult road for the community to come together and look to be successful
and
as we do so much for being here.
I just want to say another thing, and I know you all want to go home. I have to. That even
that
if
is
the Colon Center the kids
are,
and we have a pedestrian neighborhood.
Just
very few cars.
Remember,
an urban things that we have
right
on the left.
It's a ways away.
Way far away. There's no way our kids are going to go there. They wouldn't even cross Washington Avenue. So frightening.
It's wonderful.
And
thank you. Geographic area
now,
of a neighborhood.
One
in
other
project. The other thing I would share.
You want to go?
A question that came up in Midtown when we presented this, and they may assist us with some of their NRP funds. Our dollars are very precious. We have many needs, and we have health needs, but we're willing to come up with NRP.
Really,
we don't know how much, but as much as we can and as before to accomplish this. Many people have to do this. I don't think that we will do this. The other thing that I was going to say is that came up, who's going to provide the program and everything. I have to say that there is a clear bottleneck of people who want in and do stuff. There's no place to do it. Every church that has been maintained there and lots of congregation is now something. They are jammed. So the need for community safety in the organization is meeting the efficient
way
of our local landlord. That's how serious this is. We cannot serve the population without this building. And so I would sit here for 3 weeks if I had to get this done.
Good question,
Mr. Well, actually, not a question, Mr. Chair. I did want to ask the committee about that. It actually came out as one of the top five or six priorities of the Job Economic Development Committee.
City of Town
Park.
City of
did an excellent job of presenting due to the community, community and people that she brought.
And there are no more room for poignant, no more room for rain fields.
Just so that you realize that
the entire town lies on wet places.
This is a high priority for the Justice and Economic Development Committee.
Well, thanks for letting me speak.
Thank you. Appreciate any of
systems. Next.
State. Make it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Thank
you. And that's where you were. City. Look.
I
ignore
the
chairman. I'll never do this job again. John F.
Large cross.
Minnesota regional
like this sin.
This is our project that
Ms. Dean
is calling us about.
Found and development. Hi, as I still dated earlier on the other bill.
Mr. Chair, my name is John Appas. I'm with the Messerling Agreement. I represent the Minnesota Region Railroads Association.
When I looked at this, this
opportunity to present
a member
to the commissioner here, I think from those for my kids and the transition in the supportive housing net to folks. I don't know. You don't just give the money and look. You know, I mean,
and
have part of the day. That's
I know.
Okay, so.
I don't
wonder. I think we want to train. Got a seat. Train issue very quickly. This is not, this is line 40 on that sheet that you were looking at earlier. It has to do with the region.
Right, we're
the minimum. service and program.
Again,
real quick, this is about
system.
A program system problem existence the 30th and now for the 30 years, and it was fine and it came to pass in that there's to preserve and rehabilitate
for
the
principal
railroads that were brought in sense, you know, just put away that form of transportation costs. Over this debate, here's the state
where
I put about $1 million of resources in the regional into the Mercy Program. And it is called the Mercy Program.
Mr. Chairman,
it was just the Mercy Program to give them, and that's just about $120 million in capital investments
for the
railroads in railroad banking. Thank you, President. You see, don't think here today. This is not one of the projects. This is
you and the
kind of program done a lot of good and can continue to play, do a lot of good. I think with a bit of benefit from this particular
Senate
committee. You think out of 10 out of the transportation's wish list and that pushed down the scale.
I mean,
not in the government question, but about 2 years ago, we had about
$60 million
of these Atlantic resources used to deal with the
revenue
deficit. And so the request to the department this time
ship
a race for priority list about $6 million to place the resources that were during that period of time. We're not necessarily saving abandoned railroads anymore. This isn't what goes on. We are trying to make a rehabilitation and build a new paradigm in the state of Minnesota for short national railroads. We've got ethanol plants coming online. We've got reserve grain products coming into the market. We're relocating rail specifically to Representative Kelleher.
That's
a question earlier.
Okay.
The call, I believe that you're getting, Representative, calls from folks in St. Louis Park, Hopkins, and what you're trying to relocate, and that was a recommendation to the Department of Transportation. To relocate, switching early in their backyard, Glencoe. The Hawaiian God's name, Glencoe, want to have a switching yard in its backyard. The short of the story is railroads can bring the economic development, and in fact, this will move what is now a rail yard east side to the west side. One project and the other project about earlier from Mr. This is the program that helps move forward. The Senate
accounts
$0.7 million in revenue in bonding money for this program.
And
$3 million was going to go directly to the Mercy Program and
turn it up to
revolving basis. $1.20 million directly for the project that Mr. Short told you about a little bit earlier. Needs four to be a little extra. Mr. Short could use it. And only $7,000 would be used or is earmarked as a grant for the Glencoe congestion mitigation project. That's what you've been receiving in the house about the neck of the world.
Thanks.
There's an earmark?
Was
the same?
Project.
Earmark, that's a bad word.
Rail line for rural Lake's Hearts. But could this be an excellent boon to help our rural economies? not to scare anybody, but Mr. Chairman, answer the question.
Oh,
yes.
We
used to put well, pounds around cereals at one time. But every night is mild.
That's a good idea. I think Straff might have a pretty good idea if we
could do it.
This is short lines and regional railroads all these little abandoned
sites.
Essentially our connection from old Minnesota to the
world
goes to New Jersey. Beans that are grown out by handling calls go down to Louisiana.
Thank you.
Another place. It is a connection without just flipping on the
hot,
which are enough beating now to get stuff in the world. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully we can
Alan,
call from Mr. Nick Grundy.
He
is a good firm guy.
He's sick. Sorry.
Would this request cover the change of a couple phone numbers?
Steve, welcome. Identify yourself
and record. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Chairman. Next, listen, I'll see you. So, Dave,
give us a couple minutes
on
your project. And Mr. O'Fallon, do you know if you're in the Senate bill in it?
Hi. McPhail, Senator for Music. We are in the Senate bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very briefly,
Dr. David Sumba.
The faculty
that
serves over.
All right. Wilson. Come on in.
And if
he gets me to bring to me that you're on.
PhD Canadian Housing Board for
insurance.
Mr. Chair, I'm
a member of the committee on
kids and
David, early to that executive director of the ministry,
Kate,
so far as
Christian
versus
I'll be brief or chief.
I'm really representing the
whole of it.
As far as Lake Hunt musicianship,
there's
a list of it in the bottom second page of the Forest Legacy Fact
Week
that you should have in
our
your
passing.
Or so is one of
5 million
not in partnership
as members
states
for
$10 funding request is
million
of conservation
assistance
within state designated
for
assistance would be acquired on about 20,000 acres
of
private forest land. Several six times this acre will be protected by $16 million. Dollars in additional private
no
federal funding
are
reimbursed by this state investment.
If we could get
this is into urgent
option of
18
or key 20
Minnesota landowners prepared to apply
I read
by the September 2006 line
time
federal forest
state
with rapidly increasing forest land values and development,
so
pressure will the window of opportunity will not be open for
no
long. $10 million state
of what we do,
and $10 million in additional private and sector funds provide a critical way to find out priority
year
large blocks of remaining
undeducated
farmers. On behalf of the partnership,
we're
to support the $10 million bonding requests
so
made by both the governor and the House Environment
Finance
Committee.
If I count
right, all of you
serve
our co-sponsors
as
far as one of the bill
for
nerds, which we appreciate.
And
thanks for the chance to
ask.
I'll stand for any questions.
Let's get you.
That. Right.
All right, any questions?
If I could,
All right.
And
you represent the record, and go ahead with your testimony.
Part of our safety management,
but certainly Hayden, not least,
Robert Lee,
our friend from some over by the club.
They're old. They're falling
apart. Well, you're probably bad and good if you just say Larry H around these days.
Isn't
it's Larry Hosh.
The way to describe the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make this report, Tom. I would rather leave the chair than dragging on. Really, this is a wastewater treatment plant in Richmond, and I know the committee's been bombarded with a lot of wastewater treatment plant requests. But mainly what I wanted to show you is just one example of how this project has been caught up with bureaucracy. Of how we see rank projects. I'm just going to give you a couple snippets from this memo from the PA. And it describes a visit to the Richmond Wastewater Plant. This was the first time I have ever been to this facility, and quite frankly, I walked from high school. This has happened. It is such a plant. That is overloaded. It is relying on the ground all over the place from tank to tank. Lots of crusty black bones on most of the metal dividing walls and stairs were corroded, so on and so forth. However, when you look at the effluent, it looked great. In my estimation, he's not. Performing miracles. And that is why we are here today. We know about the ranking system. We know about how we fund our wastewater treatment plans. The large burden endpoint system is how many tenants and five agencies wastewater treatment plans have had. Richmond has done a great job with variable. They took this memo to heart. They are breaking ground. They are doing what they need to do to meet the agencies of the wastewater treatment plan. That would be a huge impact to the residents. I also want to point out on the second page that it's not a local project. It's a regional project. They just
charged to the local project
from before. Okay, where they just charge. This is a null necessity. They just charge into the lakes, which serve several years, including the community of Colesville. Includes Black River, which discharged right to the point where the city of St. Cloud is drinking water from. Just a few weeks we had a boil in St. Cloud because of some deficiencies in their drinking water. So this does not only affect the city of Richmond. With that said, due to brevity and being today on the first deadline, I would like to be quiet and answer questions.
And the chair, I do think that Lisa Fosh's project now points out Jason's weaknesses. We have talked about Queen Mary's legacy and kind of the issue about where water goes to and then how that affects people. This is a really good example. They are doing miracles in terms of what that looks like, and it's really a huge problem for them. What we do in the do, this is they don't nearly to jump off the list. The list has some issues. Talk about where the water doesn't cross into water, so it's all a big problem.
Richmond sewer service made the last 10 years. I assume
office. Really, calling on their radar so that they take care of these problems. And I don't think they wouldn't just like try to get by that month or something.
Thank you very much, Aaron. That's a good question. I'd be happy to answer. I believe they have been paying about $15 lower than Minnesota in their sewer rates. And we recognize and that, and Richmond also recognizes that a better plan could have been done. There has been a change in staff and in the council. And I would be more than happy to accept the level of funding that would allow the city of Richmond to pay $50 more for a month in the average Minnesota. But what we're looking at right now, with the PFA funding of the 2.5%, the citizens of Richmond are going to be $116.70 on the water before a drop of water goes down the drain.
Without the size
what would that cost them?
A lot of girls have in good weather. Asking the statement.
They're looking at about $10 million bond. We're looking at about $4 million, 40%. They are going to anticipate, and the community is meeting that with about a 60% match. With that growth claiming is inevitable,
the school
makes sense to build a plant at this time to replace what's currently there, because your growth is going to be there. I think this balance, the local commitment and to future growth, having that future growth support the payments of this, because they have calculated that in all the payments, their WAC and contract fees, and future charges.
Over 40
and he's going to come in and jump your road on the list
for a new pool
and fund it.
Made by agricultural land.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a message that we would be sending. If we were sending that consistent message along the list, that would be fine. But I would anticipate that some of the projects that funding throughout that list have also made some poor decisions and have also could have planned better. And I think we need to incur proper planning and long range thinking. And I think with our small community, sometimes difficult. I think we small community has a story about how things have been run. This community that's proactive approaching on this issue and taking some serious steps to address this.
And which cities you mentioned have been bad actors? I think we were in it one time, and it was line item veto. Mr. Hosh, whole city Mr. Hosh and his whole city council have been down time and time again over the
sewer
issue, both committees where it was first seen by the station that does the funding of this. It's making
and our debt threshold
serves any purpose to put a freshman legislator in a position of trying to run on another city at 6 city doesn't look
worse.
I think you just led to it. I'm just asking questions. And I'm just hoping to make sure that the freshman does take that
$25 million.
Makes a profit. Just so we set the record straight where it came from, 2004, and it wasn't until this is some other project that takes time to take the start for a house.
It'll take
$11 million. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a project bring that went in there.
Bill is just up to code.
Because they went in for
equitable reasons. No additional.
If it was there, there was no
educational concern.
There wasn't that.
Brian Mayer is the operator for the city of Reno. Their area almost students. When you step off the curb of this school, onto a state highway, highway 221 through town, and it is your situation. Mr. Chair, one that needs that attention on the permit in the past. Originally, a lot amount of assistance to the local communities. I know when I was old, the mayor of St. E. or they request by a strength put me on the St. E. or called city with a tell weight exact half and half of the stock rabbit of 90% on the wastewater cost treatment plant was funded by federal monies. That is the mayor. Again, we all have hands in the pot from my fire. And some, but safety codes and don't have anything else to go at the point. Thank you.
I didn't realize that the
change is
90%.
Thank you.
That was probably for small cities.
I appreciate it.
There is still significant federal reason for the questions.
Hash, I think we're going to down here. Would you like me to overcome a bit?
Oh,
the first.
And that is why
well,
that
the PCA's
first visit there.
Who,
if
they
given it right to the girls, this guy is first.
I mean, we find this is if Micah guy or he's an NPC. So that what his expertise is examining and is he an expert in area of wastewater
back
treatment facilities?
Again,
is he just some just guy that walked in?
Just,
we can't propose him
who is with the rubber cup, whatever control to the area.
Convention with 58 sub-caucus last weekend with this committee.
And also the committee sent not only didn't official this, but we didn't
nice
visit any of it. The Senate
is
culmination. He's hung in there. He's started
in
1990.
Who's in Mark? Yes,
worked towards
something with you can get over there with the guard.
The guard is here to for the local residence, which
and,
quick turn into
yeah, the former representative
for our
board of legislatures.
Made for such a reason, the power of more
your life,
which is of
and the hourly rate.
You realize that we could not was not.
Oh, we're down to 25 cents.
Before we stop,
how many? So those are first. Since
come on,
1990, he has brought
room with light. This is a very, what I want to say, statewide significant project. We testified to earlier this year to Representative Osmond's committee, and that was pretty clear for them, and had good support in that. I'll refer quickly to the blue sheet, and the first two things that we're hitting on the state relevance and regional significance is it's maintain, enhance, an alternative energy source. We've developed hydroelectric power at 1.6 million megawatts. Or 1,650,000 kilowatts, and we're also using this reservoir for what it is a sediment trap, and will basically it's a big filter on the end of the Redwood River, which will help us treat TMDLs and reduce pollutants from reaching the Minnesota River. In the tune of 16,500 tons of sediment a year, and 11 tons of phosphorus per year should be trapped in the lake once we've cleaned it out and done our job. So right there, I'll briefly end there. Entertain any questions.
Seeing none, thank you, and thank you again.
Thank you, Piper.
Appreciate it. We will jump around a little bit. We'll go to our friends from Bemidji, and then we'll do the deck, and I think we'll do Net Lake and Red Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Mayor Richard Lehman from the City of Bemidji. Right now, our bill before you is not in the Senate bill. Bemidji is the first city on the Mississippi, and we are rapidly becoming a center of regional significance. And we provide many services from the education to medical, to other facilities up there, government centers and stuff are in Bemidji.
What we're asking you is to consider the $3 million for development money for the regional event center to help Bemidji become the full-service regional event center. And I'm very glad to see many of you have our Bemidji pins on for your support. Thank you very much. And with me today is Coach Bob Peters, legendary coach from the Bemidji State University men's hockey team. And I'll ask him to say a couple of words.
Greetings from the first city on Mississippi, which means Bemidji State University is the first university on the Mississippi. Our friends are for the South. At June 6, 1966, the Peters family invaded Bemidji and took on a project presented to me by then President Bangsberg, in which he said to me, hockey is part of our culture in the state of Minnesota, particularly northern Minnesota, and we think that we should be playing a huge role. And part of that huge role was to develop coaches for our high schools. And we did that. There were many others, including one that raised my eyebrow at the time, which was, and we want to play Division I hockey at some time. And the day has come that we are currently doing that. However, what we have seen in that time, the 40 years, is this incredible growth and development in this beautiful community, in the surrounding area. And about 10 years ago, it became clearly evident that we had to do something to serve our needs. The field house that we were operating with was never intended to be an event center. However, that was used for such by various groups in our community and outside of our community. For example, our good friends, our brothers and sisters from Red Lake, Leech Lake, and White Earth have used the hockey arena for decades to hold their powwows. A beautiful event, an inspiring event, which thrills me through and through whenever I see it. That's just an example. We also hold the graduation exercises there for our high school, the university, and our tech college. And so, to wrap it up kind of tightly, about 3 or 4 years ago, Bemidji Leeds was formed by former President Jim Benson of the Bemidji State University, and the objective was to bring the future to us. We're not going to sit here in Bemidji and wait to see what the future does to us. We're going to bring it to us, and we want to act. And so a large list of destiny drivers were defined, discussed, and the number one need that established by the Bemidji Leeds is the Regional Event Center for North Central, Northwestern Minnesota. Bemidji is a go-to city, and people look to us for leadership and expertise. And that would be the crowning, building for us in northern Minnesota to go along with Bemidji being an education center, a medical center, a government center, a trade center, and, of course, a financial center.
Plus, you got that ox.
And, well, yes, and we raised a great deal of money to refurbish that.
Exactly.
Babe.
Representative Kelleher has an inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor, if you would tell us right now when people want to do an event of this size, a convention or any sort of concert, where do they go right now? Is there anything in the area or do people drive a ways to access these sorts of events?
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chair, Representative Keller. Right now, there was a handout that I had passed out prior to your meeting here that has a colored picture on one side of the proposed location of it in the downtown area of the city of Bemidji, and there's some information on the back of that. Currently, the nearest facility for the events that you're asking about is 125 miles away in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And so people, we are unable to, at this time, attract those types of events that are going to larger venues than what we currently have in the city of Bemidji.
And, Mr. Chair, one follow-up question. So, Mr. Mayor, what is the economic impact per year of this type of center?
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chair, Representative Kellyer, the estimated impact locally of an event center of this nature is about $15 million.
Right. Mr. Chair, did you know that Paul Bunyan is actually buried in Kellyer, Minnesota? So that's, I like what the mayor says.
I was unaware of that.
Right.
And we, and Mr. Chair, we maintain a legacy to the, that, you know, member of your community by keeping a statue of him and very prominently displayed in the city of Bemidji.
I've been there, Mr. Mayor.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Representative Moe, did you want to say anything while you were here?
Just a quick statement. Representative Moe,
that shirt and vest thing. I'm no slave to fashion, but I think I don't know about that one, Moe.
Chair, I think it works today.
All right.
Chairman, if you would like one altered in any way to your specifications, I'm sure we could work that out.
Just not sure about that combination.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I want to thank you for your time and attention on this. Just to reiterate, and I think the mayor touched on this, and you saw this when you traveled up Bemidji, as did members of the committee. This project has broad community support, and also not just the community of Bemidji, but the surrounding communities have all stepped forward and recognized the dramatic need we have for a regional event center in Bemidji. So we, across the board, they're all marching forward supporting our project. And, of course, we would like yours as well.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thank you for coming down, and happy Bemidji Day, but get him a white shirt next time.
All right. And thank you for your time, and thank you for allowing us this opportunity.
Appreciate it very much. Next on deck, or no, actually on tap now, is the deck, with the mayor of the fair city of Duluth, Mayor Bergson. Mr. Mayor, you're on, sir. Thank you for coming down today. We appreciate our staying over probably, but appreciate it. And we'd like to hear your ideas on the deck and what your thoughts are being skunked in the Senate bill.
Well, we just added to our list of reasons to expand the deck, and that is to keep Bemidji events from going to North Dakota. Chair Darman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to make a presentation here today. As you all know, we've been coming down for several weeks and made several attempts to convince legislators that this is a project that's important for Northern Minnesota and important to the state of Minnesota as a whole. The bonding request for the new arena requests $33.7 million from the state, which will be matched dollar for dollar from non-state funds. The non-state share of the project costs would be financed creatively by the local community, roughly 50% by the state, 30% would be from a food and beverage tax of 0.75%, and then roughly 10% from the DEC and 10% from the UMD. Because we felt strongly that not everyone might believe that the city of Duluth was behind this project, we held our own referendum that certainly wasn't mandated and is really unique and unprecedented, and that referendum passed 61-39%. 22% of the eligible voters in Duluth turned out compared to 27% in the recent municipal election, so it certainly wasn't a no-turnout election. That's a very strong statement from our community for what they recognize as an important project to our region and our community. Not just important in terms of the conventions and hockey games and concerts, but 200 full-time equivalent jobs for 2 years. This arena would serve the citizens of Duluth with sports and entertainment venues for the next 50 years and would provide us with a venue that isn't the oldest and the smallest in the WCHA. Everyone in Duluth wants to be a partner on this project. It is the number one priority for the city's administration in Duluth, and it's the number one priority and the only priority of the city council in the city of Duluth. As I mentioned, I've been coming down for 6 weeks, and we jumped through a lot of hoops, Mr. Chair and committee. First, it was our goal to be on the governor's list, and we were told, number one, we had to hold a referendum. We did that. It passed 61-39%. I think any of us would be pleased with a 61% turnout response in an election. Then the governor expressed some concerns in a retiree health care unfunded liability that has been accruing for decades. We convinced him that we are addressing the problem and we have a plan in place to solve it. So the governor put us in his bill, And then we were told to get it on the House bill, and the Speaker pledged to us Speaker Strigham would have it in the House bill. And he's been working long and hard to do that. So we made it into the governor's bill. We anticipated being in the House bill, but we were not included in the Senate bill. We were pretty well, as you put it, Mr. Chair, shut out. And I, for one, as Mayor of Duluth, say I'm deeply disappointed that, that we were really left out of the bonding bill.
You know, and I guess, Mr. Mayor, I guess the challenge that we have, and I'm optimistic. You know, I think there's reason to be hopeful. I'm optimistic that you know there'll be some portion in our bill for the deck. But of all the things that, you know, I kind of as I think about how the Senate's going to come out with their bill, and I thought, you know, how will we come out with ours? You kind of, the governor did some things that I thought were setting himself up for negotiations. I get that. This was the one that probably surprised me the most. I didn't see this coming, and so I think that, you know, we'll try to get something in there, but then I think we're going to be interested in listening to the Senate, because it sounds like they sort of like the project, and hearing what it is that they're going to throw overboard to find the dollars to do what they should have done in the first place. And so that's kind of what we're hearing for. But, you know, Representative Murphy and Representative Yaros have been strong advocates, and you know, they're doing their job and making sure that, you know, your voice is heard here in St. Paul. So, but as we go forward, there's going to be, you know, it's gotten a little harder, but hopefully we'll find a way to do it.
I want to thank the committee for taking us out of order, and if we could close, I have with me the president and CEO of Duluth Area Chamber of Commerce, David Ross.
Sure. One moment. Representative McNamara has a question, comment, or suggestion.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mayor, I just got to ask you, I just cut into the chase. Representative Murphy and the rest of the Duluth delegation have all worked real hard. I'm assuming they worked hard on the Senate side, too. Were you as surprised as Chair Dorman and the rest of us on the committee were?
I was, the Mayor. I was floored.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Representative Mahoney.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to kind of go to a little lighter note, I wanted to thank you. Because of your referendum, I'm going to have one less voter voting for me this year, because my daughter was very supportive of this deal, and she decided she had to register up in Duluth. So I'm not sure whose district it is, but she...
send her our thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll send her your... And Mr. Mayor, before I go, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention... you know, something that's near and dear to many people's heart, which is the Duluth Zoo. And hopefully you won't forget the zoo and our friend the polar bear. Was it Sparky? Is that his name? He's a good guy. So. Exactly. So. Take care of the polar bear. Identify yourself and please go ahead.
David Ross, Duluth Area Chamber of Commerce. You indicated that your daughter voted for this. The exciting news is that there were 550 new voters from the University of Minnesota Duluth that registered for this vote, participated in it, and that particular precinct had a very strong show of support for this effort. I'm just here to let you know, as decision makers, that this is much more than just a hockey rink. This is our city center. It is the heart of our community, is where our community gathers. It's where we come together to recreate and to be educated and to share in each other's lives. And so we hope that you will work as hard as is occurring in the House and in the governor's office to push this forward for not only Duluth, but for the entire Arrowhead region.
Great. Thank you. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, there are many people from Duluth that are supporting the deck here today, and I'd like to
zoo,
be able to stand up, and the zoo, and Bubba and Berlin.
All right.
If the people could stand up so everybody can see the variety of faces.
Duluth people, stand up.
Mm-hmm. And they include labor, the education community, transportation, and the business community as well, and the visitation community. So we're all here, we're all advocating for this project. It's our number one priority for the City Council and for our community.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming, and thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go Net Lake. We're going to take the Net Lake school proposal, and then Red Lake, and then... and then we'll go to Coochaching County.
Trying to get them out and trying to get ready.
Don't be afraid. Feel free to slip in. You don't want to miss your opportunity. Thank you, Superintendent. Is that correct? Is that the title? Thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the tape and share with us your views.
Okay. Again, thank you for hearing me out, and I'm pleased to see a lot of familiar faces that I've been able to speak to so far. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for giving me this opportunity. My name is Teresa Strong. I'm the alumni and current superintendent of Annette Lake Public School on the Boisford Band of Chippewa Reservation in northern Minnesota. I'm here to request that funding for the expansion to the Annette Lake School be included in the 2006 bonding bill. There are three compelling reasons why this funding is so important: to keep up with rising enrollment, to provide the services that are helping our students make great educational gains, and to make our school safer. First, enrollment. Our student enrollment has doubled in the past 5 years. The birth rate in our school district has doubled over the past 3 years. In the next 6 years, we project it will double again. Our community is blossoming as people begin to find new jobs, and many band members and others are returning home with their families to live on our reservation. This is a good thing for our community, but at the same time, we are straining to keep up with the growing demands of an increasing population of our young families. Our school building was constructed more than a decade ago to meet the needs of a small and stagnant population. Today, it is inadequate. The funding we seek would allow us to add 31,000 square feet and renovate existing spaces. This would include a new addition to house our kindergarten through sixth grade, remodeling the current kindergarten through sixth grade space for a highly regarded Head Start program, remodeling the presently overcrowded Head Start space into a community resource center, remodeling our present human services office into a common space for educational development programs, and providing new space for our existing health services, upgrading mechanical systems to efficiently meet the needs of our increased space and our often harsh winter climates, upgrade our safety and facility security, which is woefully inadequate. Mr. Chairman and committee members, Annette Lake School is not our typical elementary school. It is the jewel of our village, and within its walls meets the heartblood of our community. It's more than a good grade school. It's an educational center for the whole community, open from sunrise until late in the evening, offering many programs that benefit unborn babies all the way to our most senior elders. Our expanded school building will be a one-stop shop for all the services a healthy, successful child and families need. Besides our school classrooms, our crowded building is currently home to educational programs for people of all ages, from our New Lives program for expectant parents to Head Start in elementary school, to our Boys and Girls Club for older students, as well as GED classes and interactive television college courses, and also community education programs. These programs benefit more than my band members. They are open to anyone who lives in their area. Anyone can enroll in our GED classes. Several community groups meet in our building. Every spring and fall, we host the students from Cook and Orr for cultural camp classes. And instructors from the local colleges provide guest lectures, which often bring a wider range of audience members. All these outside groups and activities enhance our role as a community resource, but we do not allow this to distract us from our core mission of educating children. The impressive strides our students are making academically is confirmation our programs are succeeding. My second point today is services and how they link to student achievement. Success does not come easily for our young people in our remote community. Though we made strides in building our reservation economy, our unemployment rate is still 26%. 5 times higher than the state average. Per capita income is less than $5,000. Two-thirds of our students qualify for free and reduced-price meals. And yet our students are succeeding. The state sets a base proficiency score for reading at 1260. We have boosted our reading scores in the past 3 years to well beyond the state base, and we are now closing our goal of surpassing the state average of 1542. And I have the test results for the past 5 years, if anyone wants to have a copy of that. Last year, our reading proficiency rate was 89%. That's 33% higher than the target set by the State Department of Education. And I'm proud to say our kids have a 96% attendance rate. The building we have planned for our community will also have an attached health clinic, allowing us to better